Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Humans, welcome back to the Schmozone podcast. This is episode number 64. Before we begin, let's talk about the sponsors of today's episode. Fusion CBD Products. We'll be sipping on their Fusion CBD sports water throughout the podcast. They have their sleep and recovery pills. They have their instant freeze, which is great for the joints for recovery. Check them out. Use the promo code SCHMO to get 20% off all of your CBD needs, and also their elderberry gummies. These are delicious, and they help you sleep. For everyone who has anxiety or just has issues sleeping, you got to check them out. And the other sponsor of today's podcast is Origin Maine, originmaine.com, Jocko Nutrition, their Jocko Milk, excellent protein, all stuff that's made in the United States. I love their Joint Warfare. That is excellent stuff. I use that every day. Their D3 vitamin stuff. All the stuff to stay healthy. All your vitamins, nutrients. Use the promo code SCHMO to get 15% off at checkout, originmaine.com. And I'm Dave Schmolensen, a.k.a. The Schmo. My co-host is...
Helen Yee with Helen Yee Sports.
And today's podcast guest is the number 5 UFC flyweight in the world, Cynthia Calvillo. Yes. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me over.
Of course. Of course. You just got back.
Yeah. You read my mind. I was going to say you were out of town for a bit. Can you tell us about that and when you got back?
I was out in Kansas City, Missouri, cornering Maria Favela. She fought for Invicta over this past Friday, so... It was a fun fight week, a lot different from Vegas. It's way more humid, and it was just raining the entire time, so it was a little break from the desert.
Are they opened up pretty much there in Missouri?
Yeah, for the most part, but because of, you know, Invicta taking their regular, like, COVID protocols, we didn't really get to leave too much, so we were at the hotel pretty much the entire time, so we didn't really get to see too much of Kansas, but... It was all right. We had a job to do.
Well, what was the travel and kind of the airport like? Was it super crowded?
No, I would say it was pretty normal. Like it was even before COVID, I would say. I mean, besides having to wear the mask and stuff like that, but I felt like it was the same. Like, I don't feel like it was like a long wait or anything. That was pretty busy. And yeah, everybody's just kind of used to it already, I guess, you know, so...
Was the airplane packed and everything?
Yeah. You said they,
of course. We joke about it all the time. It's the same thing as what it was before the pandemic.
There's like no distancing. It doesn't fucking matter. I don't know what's going on, but whatever.
They don't care at all.
They stop wiping down the trays.
I know. I don't know how much better of a job they do cleaning it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Something that's kind of crazy that happened. We didn't talk about it much, but we have the perfect person to talk about it with. It's, remember the last time we interviewed you? It was at the UFC Performance Institute.
Yes.
It was right before we're going back to
Abu Dhabi
Fight Island. And then, unfortunately, you got the news that you got COVID-19.
Yeah.
And you probably had it while we were interviewing you. We never had COVID. And I just remember we were freaking out for 48 hours because we had just done the quarantine. We didn't know if we had it or not.
Yeah, we're like, are we going to be stuck in Abu Dhabi?
Are we
going
to be stuck in Abu Dhabi in the room and everything like that?
I mean, the most important part is that you guys didn't disclose that you were around me. So otherwise, they would have quarantined you.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
I'm like, oh, are they gonna?
Well, but we also did
but
that.
You got tested, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we got tested, but it was also on the internet, so everybody saw it, right?
I mean, you don't have to make people think about it that deep, you know.
You're right.
You know what? That's the past. It's
the past. But what was your experience with it, like fighting through it and stuff? Do you have lingering effects with this? Because everybody's reacting differently.
Yeah, you know. It wasn't too bad for me. The first day was more like I was disappointed because obviously I'd lost out on the opportunity to fly to Abu Dhabi and, you know, fight Lauren Murphy. So that really sucked. So I don't know if I had a headache from COVID or just because I was really pissed off and I was stuck in the hotel and they wouldn't let me leave. And then probably about the second or third day, I lost my taste and smell. I was like pretty tired, but I still try to like exercise. Like I try to go outside and stuff and just breathe. And I was fine. By the time it was like fight day, I obviously wasn't over there in Abu Dhabi fighting, but I like went on this huge like just like run and I was just sprinting. I just like kind of like obviously frustrated, but I felt fine. I felt good. I'm pretty lucky that it didn't affect me that bad because I know that it's affected a lot of other people in like worst ways, so I'm fine. Yeah, it's been fine ever since then.
Do you know how you got it?
It's hard to say, you know. It's just I feel like because a lot of we were very active last year, you know. There was a lot of people coming to Vegas to train a lot, so it was just kind of going around, and I think it was just that time. I don't know. And I couldn't tell you where or how, but you know, nothing changed from the time that, you know, I didn't do anything. I was just as careful. I'd get tested every week, you know, train with just the same people, but still it's hard to like control what everybody else is doing too. So.
And then not long after, didn't you get injured? I mean, you've had some adversity you had to face too. You had to get surgery and stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun stuff, you know. I had to get surgery right after the Caitlin Chikagan fight. It was just kind of one of those issues that has been lingering for a long time. So I knew that I was going to get shoulder surgery after I fought Caitlin. We've done what we could. It's been an issue that I've had for about 2 years. We did PRP on it, like, you know, about a year ago. And then we did stem cell right after the Jessica I fight. And then we just kept doing maintenance all the way through these, like, last, you know, the Lauren fight camp and the short camp for Caitlin. And just worked around it and, fought. And then I had surgery. And now we're here.
How's that recovery been?
It's actually been pretty great. A lot of us UFC fighters are very lucky to have the UFC PI. Heather and Tara and Bobby, man, they're great. They're making sure that they're overseeing. You know, my recovery is just on point. You know, I haven't slacked on it, which I feel like that's a mistake for a lot of people who get injured and stuff. You know, they get either a surgery or something breaks and they kind of don't do the physical therapy that they should before they return. And I've been very consistent from like 5 days out of like my surgery. I was in there, you know, every day. So that's why I feel great now. And it's way more stable than my left now. So it's great. I'm so freaking glad that I moved out here to Vegas just, you know, to make sure that I got back to, you know, being at least close to 100%. So fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, you come from, you know, Northern California, and you came out here for obvious reasons too, but I'm sure the UFC PI and the treatment you're able to get there is a major, major factor for that.
Yeah, no, it's huge. You know, the whole team there, I mean, they have their weekly meetings, you know, about all their athletes that they work with. And so they're always all working together. So it's not just like I have one person here and one person randomly over there. And they're all communicating and they're all getting insights like from all of them. So even though Matt's like my strength and conditioning coach, when they have their meetings, I know that like Bo and everybody else probably gets involved and they all talk about it. So I have like, we have a whole team of people to make sure that we come back, like that we're healthy and that we're in shape. And, you know, they're gathering up so much information, you know, it's like MMA Evolution. Like, it's just, you know, it's just growing rapidly and stuff. So it's great. I'm happy that I get to be one of the athletes that they get to work with and, you know, get a lot of this, do a lot of the testing. And, you know, I'm just the guinea pig, but I just do whatever they tell me to do and I do it. So,
of course. And something that you and I have discussed before as well. Have you been able to swim yet?
I have been. I haven't been as much as I should be. Mainly because I'm trying to find the right pool.
I know, except I will say I've been trying to find pools with that are much deeper than the ones I swim at, and I'm just having no luck.
I think only the UVLV, or what is it, UNLV?
Oh, UNLV.
Yeah, I think they have a deep one, right?
Yeah, but I'm not diving.
So I'm wondering now with everything open if they're allowing people who are...
I think they will. You know what? I'll text the coach.
Yeah.
To see.
Oh, that'd be great. I mean, I'm just trying to find like a good place because I want to get a good group going up, like swimming back again, and you know, I'm hoping to jump into a fight camp very soon. So I definitely need to make swimming, you know, part of my regimen, just like my training regimen, just because. Man, it helped me out so much. I was really consistent for a very long time, and then me moving, and then COVID hit and stuff. So I'm still in contact with, like, my old swim coach, so he's going to help me up, make sure I set up a good program while I'm out here and get a good group of people going, because I know a lot of fighters have actually asked me, like, you know, especially when they've seen me swim, they're like, where do you go? Like, I want to do one of those workouts and stuff. So hopefully I get something going here soon in Vegas, so... It'll be fun.
And I'll follow up with you about the pool. Yeah. I'll text them. But you mentioned getting fight camp started soon. Mm-hmm. We both saw your photo with Jessica Andrade, and then I saw her Instagram story, and it looked like she's kind of up for that too. So, I mean, is it safe to say she could possibly be an next opponent for you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I wanted to wait a little bit before, you know, just kind of get my ramp up. I already got cleared to start training hard, but you know, we don't want to go 0 to 100 real quick. So I just wanted to get to the point where I got a couple of sparring sessions in first before I, you know, accepted a fight with someone. But just seeing a couple of things unfold in front of me where I was like hoping that I wasn't going to lose that fight. So I kind of needed to, you know, go out there and shoot my shot now. Because I saw Tatiana Suarez was, like, coming up, and she wanted to, you know, I think she wanted to fight either Jessica or Caitlin. And I'm like, well, I need to swoop in there and shoot my shot first, too, because I want to fight Jessica and Josh. I just want to fight people who are at the top. And I feel like I fought Jessica I, and then I fought Caitlin Chikagian. And that's another fight that I would want to get again, you know. But I feel like... me and Jessica and Josh getting matched up is like probably the best thing. I mean, she just lost, I lost, and we're top five, so I feel like it'd be a good matchup. And I really just want to test myself against the best people, you know, the fights that nobody wants to fight, you know, like, or so that's just my style, you know.
100%. And you're also someone who's done extremely well in the strawweight division and then recently back to the flyweight, and you fought at flyweight, strawweight. When you're deciding the best weight class for you, what is that decision process like? And do you feel like you found that home permanently, or you can see yourself going back to strawweight?
I feel like for longevity, and then after really just getting a lot of work in and becoming more knowledgeable with the PI, definitely 125s is where I need to stay. And I think, you know, that a lot of athletes are going to start doing that too. You know, it's a little bit tough. And then, you know, for as much as I want to fight, and especially, you know, I don't know how many more years. I'm hoping I can fight for like about 7 more years. I want to get in as many fights as I can, and you know, taking short notice fights at 115, and even having a long time to make 115 is always a gamble for me. For if it's a super fight, you know, like I'm more than willing to do it with like if I have the time, you know, to do it. When I first started, I was able for some reason to keep my body low, but it was I wouldn't say it was the most healthiest way. So I was able to even make those like short notice 115s. I don't know how I did that, and I still did like back-to-back fights that were within like UFC fights, you know, within 30 days. And I was just like, I don't know how I did that. And eventually my body just blew up and it became extremely hard to make 115. So 125s for sure is where I think I'm going to stay for a very long time.
And someone you just mentioned, Tatiana Suarez, I know we were discussing that earlier, me and David. kind of looking at her being medically cleared now and then looking mm-hmm. to return, I believe she mentioned like August or September. And I think that's what you said as well. Yeah. But what do you make of kind of her return after a long layoff?
I mean, I think it's great. That's another reason why I think for her longevity, and especially with her injuries that she has, I think fighting at flyweight is definitely the best place for her to go, which makes the flyweight division even more exciting, you know. And I like that because, you know, the more dangerous women that we have in our division, the more respect our division gets. So I want that. I want some of the best girls to come in here. So I got really excited when Jessica Andrade was in there. I heard Tatiana Suarez, Alexa Grasso, you know. And so, you know, I love that. I want our division to be a dangerous division because I want respect. I think we all deserve respect. So, you know, more dangerous flyweights, the better.
I think it's definitely intriguing, and someone you just brought up too, former opponent Caitlin Chookagian, I feel like she's the measuring stick for all these up-and-coming girls. We just saw her win in Houston. Some people say it was controversial. I wonder how you scored it too, but I feel like she definitely won on points against Viviane Arujo, who was an up-and-coming fighter. But Caitlin does what Caitlin does. You know, she outpointed her. She got the victory. But I kind of feel like they use her as a measuring stick in that division. What are your all thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, there's not really a way around her. I mean, she's always down to fight. She wants to stay active. She's calling everybody out, you know what I mean? So it's not really like they're using her. I mean, they love her. They love her for that she's always down to fight whoever, whenever. You know, it's just for her, she's just the second best in that division. You know, it's just, unfortunately, Valentina's the champ. But I think Caitlin's there for a reason. It's not, you know, really, because she's willing to fight whoever. Like, it doesn't matter what rank they are, she's willing to fight whoever, and we just can't get through her. You know, I'm hoping that I can get through her, hopefully get a shot back, and, you know, maybe after Andrade, or if they give me Valentina, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, I don't think they're using her for that. I mean, there's not really much else for her to do. I'm sure that if she really wanted to bake for that title, she probably would have done it already, because people have talked about it. I think she's more than happy to just keep winning these, you know, collecting paychecks and keep beating, you know, beating whoever the UFC throws at her. So I think it's awesome. Like,
but another pivotal flyweight fight coming up, Joanne Calderwood, Lauren Murphy. Mm-hmm. That goes down UFC 263. How do you see that one playing out?
Yeah. I got JoJo in this. You know, I know it's probably going to be the best Lauren we see, because she's like begging, you know, for that title shot. And I think she understands that she needs to make a statement in this one, or at least even just win it. I think she feels if she just wins this fight, then she has to be next up in line. And I see that. I see for sure, you know, like, you know, if JoJo doesn't win, you know, either one of them are going to, whoever wins that fight's going to get the title shot.
You think so? That winner for sure?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I think, mm-hmm. kind of deserving.
Yeah, I mean,
too.
There's not, I don't see any other fights or another matched up together that would have, you know, maybe gone in there. Maybe if Vivian would have beat Caitlin, that probably would have been, you know, she probably could have been one of the next opponents. But depending whoever Valentina wants to fire, or the UFC says. So
I still find it fascinating too, that JoJo fought Jennifer Maia when Valentina had to pull out of their fight for injury, and she pretty much lost her spot that way.
Yeah.
And she would have had that title shot. Mm-hmm. And now maybe, and to your point where you see JoJo beating Lauren Murphy, this is kind of her second opportunity to get back what she was originally in line for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely see that for sure. I think that she would definitely deserve this after that. She was waiting a long time to fight Valentina, you know, and then boom, you know, Valentina can't fight, and then so she's not going to wait around. She's just been working so hard, training in camp, and then boom, you know, no fight. And so this opportunity came up, so she was like, all this hard work that she's been putting in, like, she just want to just throw it away. So of course she felt as if she fought Jennifer, then, you know, okay, cool, then that's one out of the way and I can still cap my shot. But, you know, unfortunately, it is what it is. You know, Maya was ready for that fight, and, you know, so she lost her shot. But I think that after beating Jessica Ai and now this one, then for sure I think she's deserving of the next spot. I mean, and Lauren would be too.
Another intriguing fight in your division too, someone that you didn't lose to, is a majority draw, some sort of draw, Marina Rodriguez in D.C. She's looking good. She's being linked to a fight right now with Mackenzie Dern.
Yeah.
How do you see that playing out? I mean, that's an intriguing fight, too, where I feel like the winner of that fight is one or two away from a mm-hmm. title shot as well, potentially.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that'll be a good fight. I think that Mackenzie has gotten a lot better. She's making a lot of improvements with her hand stand up, but Marina is really good. She actually has really good judo, and she's really strong. And I think she could do a really good job with, like, stopping some of the takedowns. I don't think that Mackenzie's as good wrestler as Carla Esparza, you know. But who knows? Like, that's a really good matchup, actually. So, but they were that would definitely be up next after, you know, whoever gets to fight for the title next, whether it be Carlo or Whaley.
Yeah, I was floating. Yeah. I just floated between two divisions right there. I went to the strawweight.
Well, because Marina did also just fight Karate Hardy at flyweight as well. So, and just throwing this out there, I asked Marina for a rematch, like, because I had missed weight against her fight. And she said that, you know, the only reason why I was a draw and that I was able to lay on top of her, she said, well, she was getting ground and pounded, that it was because of the weight. And I'm like, so I was like, I want that rematch. And I was like, if I don't make weight, you can have my whole purse. Like, you can have it. I was like, she's like, no, I want to fight somebody who makes weight. I only want to fight at 115. But obviously, she can fight at 125. So, and she already fought me, so I don't know what the issue is. But whatever, that's another fight I would love to have back, just to prove to her that it had nothing to do with the weight. I would definitely, you know, get her out there next time, because I was this close finishing her.
So it sounds like you're not a lock at 125. Then you're willing to go down and take that.
Yeah,
take that W.
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the fights for sure. And you know, I've said it before, and she's just like, no, you know.
But I jumped a little bit. I did want to ask one question regarding. Do you want to jump in there too? Oh, no. I wanted to ask about Valentina, the boogeywoman, I guess, so you could call her. Like, what is. She's beatable, right?
Yes.
I mean, everybody is beatable, but she looks so good, and she was so dominant in the last fight that she just went out there and completely went through Andrade. Like, everyone thought it was going to be intriguing. Andrade is strong. She'll put her head down. She'll close the distance. Valentina took her to the ground, malicious ground and pound, kind of similar to what Carla just did against Yan Xiaonan the other night.
Very similar.
How do you beat Valentina Shevchenko? Like, what are her weaknesses to exploit?
I mean, I think, you know, every fight's different. So I definitely feel like I have the best grappling in the division. And of course, I don't think that I would stand there and go toe-to-toe with her, right, like, and play her game. And, you know, obviously she's the type of fighter also that, you know, take it to your game, like how she did to Jessica Andrade. You know, maybe most people thought she might have, like, stick and move, you know what I mean? But she went in right there, grabbed her, took her down, and put her in a crucifix and got her out of there real quick. So she's really good at, like, just kind of taking their strengths and using it against them. So, I understand that, you know, obviously when she fought even Juliana Pena, she got her, you know, stubbed her with an armbar. That was not expected. So I understand that. So I feel like you have to be a well-rounded fighter. We're both the same height. I think that I can, you know, what she has speed in stand-up, I have speed in the ground. So I feel like I would out-grapple her if it were to get there. And I think that I would just have to fight really hard and be a dog, but be really smart, like, be super smart about it. You know, you can't go in there reckless and stuff, you know. And, you know, this is what I want to do, and it intrigues me. I just want to go out there and, like, fight her. Like, I hope that I get to fight her before she decides to, you know, move on, whether it is to whatever, you know, she fights that fight with Nunez or I don't know, you know. But that is one of my dream fights for sure. I want to fight the best. That's, like, I just want to test myself against, like, the best people. And I think there's always a possibility to beat someone, and I think I can do it. Like, I really truly believe that. Most people, you know, wouldn't believe it. Actually, I don't think they believe anybody could ever beat her, but I truly believe I can.
And as far as, like, being worried if she would leave the division or retire, trust me, like, we've interviewed her before, and it looks like she doesn't even want that kind of inner thoughts right now. Like, she seems like she wants to just keep fighting for a very, very, very long time.
I think
the reputation and that she has already in this division, and just setting a a precedent that can't be matched or beaten. I think that's important to her too, but I really think that she will take the Nunes fight, the trilogy fight. Yeah. I really think that I could see that playing out. I don't know if that's going to happen after one or two more defenses, if she is able to successfully defend the belt, but I definitely see her fighting Nunes. As long as they're both continuing to win, I don't see how that match doesn't happen.
I just don't see her hang it up anytime soon.
No, that I don't.
No, I for sure. What I'm saying is more is her not feeling like she has enough competition at 125 and deciding to move up to 135. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm not planning to go away anytime soon either. So eventually, I guess we should, you know, we will be matched up. So, which is great for me. Like I said, I really just want to fight the best ever, and I want to test, and I want people, you know, I want to build on my legacy, and I want people to look at my resume and see that I fought the best, you know, and that's the only way I'm going to get confident is, like, confident is by beating people that are considered the best, because I don't want to fight any chumps just to get the title shot. I want to fight the best to get there.
And with your style, too, you're so well-rounded, and you're not afraid. You're in exciting fights, and to your credit, too, you've never been finished.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of any woman at all. Like, I'm not scared of anybody at all. Like, I won't shy. I'm not anybody to, like, pick fights because I think that that person's beatable. I pick fights that, you know, nobody wants. That's what I want.
And we definitely respect that. And I know all the fans respect that as well. And sorry to jump divisions again, but you mentioned Carla. She had a huge win, very impressive win this past weekend. Do you think she's more deserving of that rematch against Rose and that title shot, or some people are saying, or is it a Wei Li rematch for Rose?
I mean, you could say Wei Li deserves it just because of the amount of times that she defended her belt, which, I mean, it was like, what, two, three times, I think, or
just, was it once?
Or it was just against Joanna.
Joanna, yeah.
And then that's it, yeah, so. Yeah, you know, it's difficult to say just because obviously Joanna was a reigning champ for a very long time, and then she lost the title and then got the rematch, you know, right away. And so it just depends. But and then also because it was such a quick one in the first round. And I feel like Carla also is very deserving of it, too. So that one's a tough one, man. That's a hard one to really say because I feel like they both would deserve that match.
It's a rematch either way because Carla beat Rose to get the inaugural title. And I think they're going to overlap too. My question is, what does Joanna take? What is her next fight in returning? Because we haven't seen her in the octagon since that amazing fight of the year against Wei Li where she lost.
I mean, from what it sounds like, it seems like she's only going to fight the ones that are out top and they have to be money fights. I feel like she's reached that point in her career where she could be that kind of fighter with, like, Nate Diaz or, you know, Conor McGregor, where no matter what, when she comes back, it's always going to be a big fight, you know? And especially if she's not as active and people are like, you know, when is Joanna going to come back? Because no matter what, like, she's always going to be a, you know, the fighter that people are going to enjoy watching. Like, all her fights are exciting, and so I feel like she's probably just gonna, you know, chill and, you know, like she says, she doesn't want to keep beating her body up just for nothing. So I think she's gonna be coming back just for the big fights, you know, for the money fights.
What's your take on the whole 145 pound weight division, the featherweights for females? Like, we haven't seen rankings in there. I've asked Dana about this, or the schmoes asked Dana about this before. It seems like there's only a few, less than a handful of girls that are competitive in this division. What do you do? It's only around because the champ, Nunes, wants that 145-pound weight division, I feel like.
It's really difficult to say. You know, we didn't really know. Nobody freaking knows. Dana always says he doesn't know, that they're just goofing around with the division. I think that's what he said. And I'm like, and it's really, it sucks because, you know, for a lot of women whose dream is to be in the UFC, and whether they're waiting around, you know, to fight to get to that shot or not. But also, there's also the 145 tournament that's going on, and PFL pretty much has all the women now, so the 145ers. So I don't know what, how, or where else they can pull 145ers for that division. So just how they don't know, I couldn't say what they decided, what they would decide to do, you know, with it, because it's hard. It's hard to be at 145 and be a fighter. Even if you're in the UFC, you want to stay consistent. You want to make money, and you can't fight that many times because there's not that much competition. So it sucks, you know. So it's really tough for all the 145ers right now. Like, I feel for them, but it's just, I don't think any promotion knows what the hell, like, what's going to happen. There's not that many of them.
You mentioned the PFL. Mm-hmm. Clarissa Shields, she's kind of transitioning into MMA. How do you think she'll do?
It's a whole different world, and she has a champion mentality, and I think she still has plenty of time to grow to get to a high level. Against very good competition right now, I'm not sure how she would do with the grappling and the wrestling. That takes a while to get, and someone who has years on her with that, you know, especially wrestling. If she goes up against a wrestler, you know what can happen against a boxer who doesn't really know how to, you know, sprawl or, you know, get back up. So that's going to take some time, but there's no doubt that she can get to that level. Like, she doesn't care, and that's the most important part of, like, not being scared. And we already know she's a champ, so, you know, she's going to do great. It's just going to take a time for everything, for her to be well-rounded enough for high level.
That's why I have so much respect for her, because not only is she's a female, right? Mm-hmm. But she's a female with world titles in multiple weight classes. Now she's going to MMA. She's not one of those boxers that are challenging the MMA fighters to box her.
Yeah.
She already knows her place. Yeah. She knows her status. And now she's coming into this sport. Yeah. You don't see any of the male boxers doing that. So she gets all the respect in the world from me.
Way more respect than any of those boxers. That's for damn sure. I mean, it's happened before previous in the past, you know, where they've gone in there and it hasn't gone very well for them. But I think Clarissa Shields is going to do a lot better, you know. I think she's not going to quit like those guys. I think when it's happened in the past, they've probably had like one fight and then they've like gone, right?
I think of like James Toney.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he was like kind of pretty much one and done in there.
Yeah.
But it just, yeah, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. We don't see it. Mm-hmm. And she's actually doing it, which you got to give her hat off.
Yeah.
Take your hat off to her.
For sure.
She's exciting.
And what is your opinion on, for example, like Paige? I believe they just signed Pearl Gonzalez, Rachel Ostovich, kind of going into bare knuckle.
The UFC fighters, the females, signing with bare knuckle. What's your take on this?
They just make so much more money than we do. Like, the rest of the women in the UFC were like, fuck, you know. And especially just because they were like, they didn't do very well in the UFC. So it's crazy to think that these women that, you know, were all better fighters than that they are, well, at least the top fighters are, you know, they're good, obviously, because they wouldn't have gotten the UFC if they weren't, but they weren't doing that good. So for them, good for them, you know, like, that's all I can say. I mean, honestly, it's hard not to think about it, and I don't want to be like disrespectful, but it's just kind of like thinking about a bunch of like dirty old men just want to watch these girls with big boobies, fake boobies, just kind of go at it, you know what I mean, and beat the shit out of each other. Like, it's just,
could you ever see yourself in that world?
No.
Yeah.
No. I you know, I'm just probably just gonna be broke compared to them, you know. That's okay.
It's just, it's what you just said is so true. It's like, I mean, I don't read the comments like Helen over here, and we can ask you about what you read with the comments and stuff, but some of these MMA fans, casual or whatever, they're brutal, especially to the women. It's ridiculous, some of the shit you guys have to deal with.
It's pretty bad. So I just tried like to just mind my own business and just worry about my own shit.
Do you get a lot of like feet requests?
Yeah. Yeah, I get a lot of weird messages, a lot of weird ones that I don't click on any blurry pictures. So
don't
ever click on the blurry pictures.
And then there's fighters that are doing OnlyFan pages and stuff that they're teaming.
They're making a lot more money too. God damn.
But I respect that you're true to yourself, you know, and who you are.
It's just not for me. This is not what I'm here for. Like, I just want to be a fighter. Like, it's really hard for me to, I'm not an influencer. I can't stand telling people what to do. Like, I just, like, I'm not going to tell you, like, you should do this, you should do that. Like, it's really hard for me to sell shit. Like, most of the time if I do post it, it's because I really do kind of use it or I like it, you know? So, but for the most part, I just kind of, man, fighting's just changed so much from the time when I first started. Like, when I first started 10 years ago, I mean, there was no women in the UFC, and my biggest thing was just like dang, I just wanted to be in the UFC. That's it, you know? And then all of a sudden, everything else with social media and following and influencers and fucking TikTok and just all kinds of other shit and being a model. And I'm like, I'm not, I didn't sign up. That's not a part of fighting. And so I don't do it because I don't like, I'm not comfortable with it. But to each its own, like, I'm not judging other women that do it, because if they like doing that stuff, that's probably something outside of who they just are, you know? But I'm just pretty boring outside of fighting.
I feel like it's like a whole cultural thing. Like, it's going on with a lot of younger fighters too. Like, they're growing up with this stuff and it's part of their fighter identity in a way. Yeah. Like, what kind of content they can create outside of the cage.
It's too much for me. I really truly believe that, like, you have to be completely focused in your craft. And I'm the type of person that if I spread my energy thin, then that's what I'm going to get in return. So I put everything into fighting. Like, everything that I do, like, I just hang out with my two dogs and I occasionally hang out with people here and there. But, like, everything I do is just for fighting. I have one goal, and that's just to be the best in the world. So I feel like, I don't know, I just can't do myself. I can't juggle so many different things. And that's another part of it where it's just too much. And, like, also, like, you know, the insecurities and image and having to be have that else negativity just go in there too inside and throw that on there. Like, I can't deal with it. And I'm not going to do that to myself. I feel like I fought really hard to become the person that I am. And I'm very guarded and I'm protective and I'm protecting my dream. And I'm not going to allow anything else to get in the way of it. So that's how I see it. So I'm putting all of it into just fighting. And I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with doing everything else. If you want to be a model, if that's how you, you know, present yourself or you express yourself, all in, do it. You know, I envy people that can do a million things and freaking just be great at everything. I can't do too many things all at once. Like, I gotta just focus on fighting.
That's how it should be. Yeah. I mean, you realize too that, you know, this journey is finite. There is an end date to you being a fighter. So you might as well put all those eggs in that basket. Yeah. Go for it 100%. No stones left unturned. And then you could worry about other ventures when that window eventually closes.
Like, when you get to that spot, those things, those opportunities will come. I don't want to fish for them. I don't feel like I need to go start, you know, I need to get this. I need to start working on that. Like, of course, there's things that I want to do outside of fighting and stuff eventually. But for the most part, all my energy goes to that. And when you become the champ and you become the GOAT, all those opportunities, they just come, you know, all that opens up. So I don't worry about any of that stuff. My main focus is fighting, because if I put everything to that, all that shit will come with it later eventually.
Well, what are some of those things that you want to do later on?
I definitely want to, probably do, like, commentating or being an analyst and stuff. Like, I watch all the fights and stuff. And that's the one thing that I feel most confident about is, like, when we talk about fight stuff, I'm like, yeah, that, like, I won't run out of stuff I had to talk about. Because most of the time I'm really quiet and I'm not really interested in too many other things, you know. So I want to do that. And, you know, I also just want to help a lot of, like, you know, women and youth and stuff like that, and be able to inspire them with my story and being able to, like, go talk to them. And, you know, because I came, you know, my journey and stuff was, like, really from nothing, but I did it, you know, just training hard and fighting through adversity. And I feel like I still have a long way to go, and I just want to keep fighting. And I just want to be inspiration with, like, being able to reach the top, you know, against all odds. And so that's one of the big things that I want to do, is definitely help a lot of, like, kids and women that have been in similar situations as myself, you know. And of course, you know, everybody cares about your story once you win, you know, and you're the champ. So that's the goal. You know,
for the people that are listening to this podcast and aren't as familiar with your story, maybe can you just walk our audience kind of through, like, what you had to go through your amateur career, just to fight, to juggle the things in your life, just to get to the point of fielding the dream of actually becoming a UFC fighter?
Yeah, so I'm first generation here. My parents are from Mexico, and I grew up in Eastside San Jose. I'm the youngest of four. My parents were working all the time, you know, and them just learning everything about this country. Of course, them being born in Mexico, they don't really have the chance to dream, you know. They had to just survive and try to find for a better place. So they were always working, and all they wanted us is to just to go to school. And so went to school, didn't grow up in the best neighborhood. I wouldn't say I was the best kid in school either. You know, I just did enough to pass. And when I was in high school, I was in a relationship, and it wasn't the best relationship, but it was just kind of one of those things where, like, I couldn't really talk to anybody about it. It was weird, like, even if I talked to my parents. The culture's, like, just different for Mexican cultures, too. It's just kind of, like, one of those things if... And they're used to having, like, young relationships, like, because people get married really young, like, in Mexico, you know what I mean? But it's just, like, this weird machismo thing that happens where women are more property, and, like, even if you want to complain or mistreat it, nobody really cares. You kind of just have to suck it up and keep going. So I felt like I was stuck in something like that very young, and I was very insecure about myself. And I just, like, had something inside me that I just felt like this isn't, like, right. But I've seen my mom go through it, you know, with my father and stuff. I love my dad and stuff like that, but the culture with them is very strong. My dad is very, you know, has a lot of machismo. And so anyways, I was in a really bad relationship. I also ended up marrying him when I was like 19, and he was in the Marine Corps, and he was kind of abusive, physically, mentally, and stuff like that. I never, to the point where he can really beat me up, because I always defended myself, but I don't really have anybody to fight for me. There's also like this like weird brotherhood in the military too, where even if they see one of their brothers do something wrong, they're not gonna tell on them. So I was stuck in that too. I felt like I never really had anybody that can help me and like stand up for me, and I was just stuck in these situations, and it was really, really hard, and I didn't feel so great about myself, and it was very insecure. So it was really tough to grow up that way. Eventually that relationship ended up ending, and I wasn't in a great spot, and I was trying to figure things out. I was 23 years old, and I decided to go to an MMA gym. I've always wanted to train. I always enjoyed it. I always wanted to do sports. I never got the chance to. So and then also at that, I've tried doing it before, having like a kickboxing class, and my ex was like, no, super controlling, jealous. Never got to. So I just finally felt like I can do something for myself, and man, I haven't stopped doing it since then. It was crazy. Like, I like saved myself, like essentially, like I became my own hero. Like, nobody was gonna out there, it was gonna be out there to help me no matter how much I asked for help. Like, nobody really did, you know. And so it just feels great to have that power. So I'm like a way different person than most people know. And so, like, for me, fighting means so much more. Like, I literally like fought outside of fighting just to get to fighting. So so I was working full-time, just kept training every freaking day. Eventually had amateur fights. I became the number one amateur fighter in the state of California. I wanted to go pro, but I also wanted a better team. So I ended up moving to Sacramento. I quit my job, and I moved up to Sacramento and trained with Team Alpha Male. Had a few sponsors. My friend was giving me a room to stay at for free, you know. So I got over there, and I was like, yay, you know, I'm going to have one fight with them, and then I'm going to go pro. Then I got injured. I broke my arm, and then I broke it again, and then I broke it again. So I sat out for 3 years before making my professional debut. And then finally, eventually, I made my debut. I won it, I think it was third round TKO, or second or third round, I can't even remember. And then 2 months later, I fought Jillian Robertson for my second fight, beat her. 2 months later, I fought for LFA, beat Montana De La Rosa, TKO. And then I got the call for the UFC, 2 weeks. I wasn't even a professional for 6 months. And I got the call for the UFC on 2 weeks' notice. And, man, it was pretty crazy. Like, that time, because I was living paycheck to paycheck. I didn't think I was going to get in the UFC that fast. You know, I was trying to make up for lost time as well. So that's why I was fighting so much. And I fought through so much to get there. So when it came, I was freaking ready. And I couldn't ask for a better performance, you know. It's been a whirlwind. It's been a roller coaster. But I'm living the dream. It's been freaking crazy.
And I will say that your story, I'm sure, is inspiring so many women and young girls out there already. Mm-hmm. So you're already changing the world, and you may not know it right now, but it's really touching, and I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I don't really, I've talked about it before, but I don't talk about it too much. But whenever I get the opportunity to have one-on-ones with women, especially that are struggling, you know, I'm not very like, oh, I'm gonna go to social media, but I do talk to a lot of women, and I do share my story, and I know that I have inspired them, and that makes me feel really good, because like, I'm teaching them that they can be their own hero just like I did it, you know, and that's very important to be able to create your own power and to stand up on your own feet by yourself without needing the reassurance of other people. Because goddamn, if I listened to every single person that told me to freaking quit and not to do this, I would have never got here. There's no way I would have got here.
Isn't it so much more fulfilling that you do it yourself and nobody yes. handed it to you, no one gave it to you? And that's why when you're in the shoes now, like, you know, you don't owe anything to anybody. It's all for yourself. You're self-made. You had to fight out of a foxhole to be a fighter in the first mm-hmm. place. You didn't have one fight. You had two fights to fight yeah. the fight. And no, who else can really say that?
I mean, it's crazy. I'm glad, because it could have gone either way. You know what I mean? And yeah. I could have definitely gone a different path, you know, coming from where I grew up, and not even just the culture there in that community. Like, none of us would ever thought that any of us would have made it to this level. There's damn well I never would have thought that I could have made it, like, at all. Like, we were just like in a community, like, just the way that we were brought up, like, small-minded mentality. Like, we could never think that we could do something so great, that that was even attainable. We would always assume that you would have to be at the right place with the right people to get you there. You know, we didn't have those outlets. I didn't know anybody who fought. Like, I didn't know, my uncle was nobody. Like, I didn't, you know, just some girl that walked into the gym, you know, and decided, like, I want to just, you know, pretty much just fight, because I just had so much inside of me, and it's crazy how much I've created from that. And it's just, I just can't wait. Like, it's crazy to me, like, how much I've done, you know, just against all odds, and just because I get to compete with some of the best women in the world, and like, it's freaking nuts, but I love it, and you know, I just enjoy every second of it.
And you're still riding the dream.
Yeah.
And you're still writing it too.
Oh yeah.
and that's why we love covering like this sport more than ever, because everybody has a story.
Yep.
It's an individual sport, and you know, in our own right, to be at this table now, like, no one sports executive wise from the big media companies gave us a chance. So we kind of carved our own pathway to build our own type of thing too. So when we hear your story, and any story remotely, I wouldn't say similar, but they all have their own unique ways of getting there. It's touching, and we feel for it, because we understand in our individual lanes how much work really has to go behind the scenes to make your dream happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's why you see so much heart in these fighters. You know, so many of us have stories, we all of us. And you know, everybody's time will come, you know, and as long as you keep fighting. So I'm truly grateful. Like, I literally wake up like every day and I'm like, holy shit, my job's to fight people. So I'm super grateful that, you know, I was able to do this, and I can, you know, make a name for my family here in America, which is pretty freaking awesome, you know, because everybody back in Mexico, like, you know, and back, because that's basically where most of my family is, still in Mexico. You know, I just have my parents here and my sister and brother, but everybody else is in Mexico. So it's pretty neat to have done this, you know, and like, especially just coming, you know, and being first generation, like I said, is just really tough, because it's not like my parents knew how to do this. You know, they were learning themselves. So I'm glad that I was able to make them proud, and I didn't just, like, you know, have all their hard work go to waste.
What was that moment like when you got that call from the UFC and you were able to share it with your parents?
Yeah, you know, I told my brother and my sister first, and I was like, yo, once I get the contract tomorrow, then I know that it's real. Because I told them initially that very night when I found out, but, and like, I was like, nah. And so I get the contract, then I know it's real. So then we got the contract, and then I told my parents. And my dad was really happy. My mom is still kind of like, oh, she doesn't really, she understands, but doesn't understand. Like, now she understands how big it is. But I think initially when I first told her about that, she didn't understand what, who or what organization I was fighting for until I actually fought, and she was like, holy shit, this is huge.
Do they watch your fights, like your mom even?
Yeah, you know what, they all get together to watch my fights, but my mom can't watch them. She kind of just like avoids watching them. She goes to the kitchen or the room and comes out once the fight's over, and then, you know, and then I talk to them when I, right after I get done fighting, they're the first people I talk to, is my mom and my dad. Yeah, and they're so, my dad loves it, but he watches all the fights. And my mom, she doesn't like watching fighting. But although she's so tough, and she's been in her own fights, like, you know, with other people physically, so she's really tough. I would say that I actually get most of, like, my strength from my mom. Although my dad likes to say he's undefeated in the streets. So I don't know, whatever that means.
But so is your mom then, maybe. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure that undefeated. I'm pretty sure that they're both undefeated. Like, honestly, like, okay, I said that I wasn't scared of anyone, but I'm scared of my mom.
More than your dad, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's fair. You also said though too, analyst, you want to do the broadcast position. What is that like? I think I just saw Bilal Muhammad, UFC welterweight. He just got his first gig, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
At the desk. Like, how do you put your name in the hat for that? What do you do to push that?
I'm just going to wait a little while because, like I said, I would rather do it once I'm heading towards the end of my career, when I'm already going to be out, because I feel like that can affect you. Like, I can't do it. I don't know how these guys do it that are actively fighting and, you know, have to constantly travel and stuff like that. In order to be the best in the world, I got to be in the, especially for me, who I started later, you know, at 23 years old, there's so much more I got to learn and evolve, you know, and more reps and that I have to do. I have a lot of work to do. And so I feel like I got to just focus on that. And, you know, those opportunities will come later. But, you know, until then, you know, I watch all the fights. So I'm always hopefully keeping, you know, that mind fresh and, you know, so when it's time, I'll be ready. But for now, fighting's all I care about, and yeah.
That's fair. So we'll be pushing for the Jessica Andrade fight a couple months from now. That's what
in
it looks
August,
like.
September?
September. Okay. That'll give me, you know, enough time to get back in there. I don't want to push it too quick with, you know, my injury. Like, I want to make sure that this can get through sparring and wrestling first, you know. I don't want to set up the fight this quick, but just the way things are playing out, I felt like I needed to go out there and shoot my shot before things got out of hand. I would have lost that fight, so I got a little overzealous, I guess. I don't know. So, but I'm glad though, because she's down, you know. And so we said September, and obviously she just responded to it. So I think it'll happen. I mean, Mick loves it, you know. Like, we make his job easier. Why wouldn't he want us to fight? Who wouldn't want to watch this fight? I think it's a great fight.
I think it's a great fight too.
A great
two
fight.
Top five
definitely.
Fighters,
yeah,
that are gonna throw down, meet in the center of the octagon. I think it's a great fight.
I love it.
Yeah. You make their job so much easier too, and both of you guys already agree to it on social media.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I couldn't apply down any better, so I'm happy. You know, we were both down, and it's a lot of respect. You know, for me, it's an honor because she's a former champ. So I'm happy that I get to share the, you know, the octagon with the best in the world.
Yeah. Well, any kind of final thoughts to leave the Schmo Zone with?
Man, nothing much. Just drink your water. It's going to get hot. Summer's coming.
Any plans for Memorial Day weekend?
No, you know, I don't. I'm going to give my boy Ian a shout out. He's getting married the first weekend of June. So that's why I can't do nothing this weekend, because I'll be heading out next weekend for that wedding. So I got to, you know, prepare for that. So, but no, I'm sure it's going to be great. You know, I'm just trying to make sure I train. I don't like missing training. So I'm just going to try to train as much as I can between the times where I have to like leave out of town.
Have you been doing training at Extreme Couture? And Misha Tate's back there too. She's making a return. How's she looking?
Yeah, she's looking great. It's man, the energy in the gym right now is great. Like, it's packed, and we have a lot of women in there, and it's freaking awesome, and it's great to have Misha back and just watch her do her thing, especially her being like super mom, and you know, she's just doing it, and it gives, you know, a lot of us hope, especially a lot of us women who want to keep fighting, and you know, some women who decide to have kids, you know, and they can show that you can still come back from that. So that's pretty cool.
We are out.